97 97 97 97 or call us on 045 898 999. Now, an ACE woman diagnosed with cancer four times since 2021 has issued a series of warnings about the high risk of cancer development. Linda Chanders is a patient partner with the Irish Cancer Society, the only patient advocacy group in Ireland to be selected, and one of only two in the EU to attend the annual American Society of Clinical Oncology conference in Chicago. And Linda joins me on the line now. Linda, good morning. Thanks for taking our call on the show.
Hi, good morning, Hannah. Thanks very much for having us.
And thanks again for taking the time to take our call. Linda, you're on this morning to share your experience of being diagnosed with skin cancer. It's something that you're, diagnosed four times with now, and also highlighting the importance of sun protection, and then also being a speaker now, raising awareness around skin cancer. I suppose for listeners this morning, Linda, can you start off by telling us, you know, when you were first told that you had skin cancer, what happened?
Yeah, so I was first diagnosed with malignant melanoma in 2021. So at that stage, we were kind of coming out of COVID, so we were all kind of more or less focusing on COVID than anything else. And then I just spotted a tiny little, like the top of a pin, black mark on the back of my leg. And normally you would just kind of dismiss those kind of little things, but something just told me to go get it checked, and I did. I still wasn't expecting anything. So when I heard the word cancer, I could have been knocked over by a feather. I really wasn't expecting it.
Yeah.
So that's when my journey actually started then, and it was like an out-of-body experience. Like, this is not happening to me, it's happening to somebody else. But we had to go through it. It was a difficult time. My daughter had just started university in Limerick, and my son was doing the leaving cert. So my priority was their education, and the first thing you think of as a parent is your children. So we went through that, and we had the 8 months. It was a difficult time because I still had to isolate. I was very lucky. My mother looked after me when I came out of hospital first, and then I had to isolate. I had to make sure for my treatment to continue that I didn't catch COVID. So the isolating was hard, but I'm very lucky. I had very good friends and neighbours who would call to the window kind of thing and say hello and check in on me. But then after that, then I decided that I need to get back out there. And because I'm artistic and creative, I want to meet other creative people. So I commenced a course up in Trinity College in creative work. And I was about 2 months in there when I got a further SC and BC on my face. So this time the treatment was slightly different. It was topical chemotherapy, which is like sticking a hot iron to your face, and it kind of burns your face, your skin. And you're kind of left with open wounds, holes in your skin, moving, bleeding. It looks awful. And you have to stay away from UV. So the UV rays. So the only option was to put sun cream, factor 50, onto this, so to get to college. And I was very determined to get to college to finish my postgrad. So it was excruciating pain. It was extra unnecessary pain. So I started looking, said, there must be something here to help me. But there was nothing. And when I went back to my consultant, I said, what do other patients do? And said, they isolate. But I wasn't going to isolate for another 8 weeks after that. So what I did was I bought a child factor 50 swimsuit and my kitchen table. I made a face shield for myself. And off I went to college, and I was able to protect myself and I was able to continue with my course. And then in Trinity, I had an opportunity then to do some research. So I looked into the other needs of patients, and I found I wasn't the only one alone. There was a lot of people like me who couldn't move about while having their treatment.
Yeah.
And then other needs, and that's how my journey started. So I just said, look, what's the point in sitting at home crying about it? Let's do something about this. But more so, I want to bring awareness to people on skin cancer, and the earlier it's diagnosed, the better the outcome, and also prevention. I'm really, really advocating for prevention at the moment.
Of course, and we were speaking with the Irish Cancer Society only a few weeks ago, as May was Skin Cancer Awareness Month, and it is becoming a more common cancer here in Ireland, but again, it is more treatable, and really, it's all about the prevention. And from your side, Linda, as you were saying, the likes of wearing your sunscreen, just being sun smart, I suppose, is a big one. But I mean, coming out and being so, you know, being an advocate for it, I mean, that's hugely beneficial and so important for other people who are maybe going through treatment themselves, or who might, you know, their lifestyle at the moment might not be the best, and it might result in a diagnosis later in life.
Yeah, what we do now will affect us in the next 5 to 10 years. And, you know, this is particularly where parents need to be extremely careful, for children in particular. Children getting sunburn, even like tanning, people say, oh, I don't burn, I'm okay, I got a tan, I tan. Tanning is the same. It's just a different form of burning. You can still get melanoma, be serous, see from that later in life. And now at the moment, we're actually seeing people younger getting it. It used to be quite often skin cancer was often known as an older person's condition. But whereas now we're seeing people in their 30s, and very sadly this year, a 15-year-old boy lost his life with melanoma. You know, so it affects everybody at this stage. Now, look, I did all the things wrong. I did sun holidays, got my tans, did the sun beds, I did the nails. And even something simple as your nails, like say when you're going to get your shellac or your gel nails done, 20 minutes before you go to your salon, you need to actually put on factor 50 sun cream onto your nails, because you can get skin cancer under your nails.
And that's
if you are putting your into UV lamps. And there's something that people don't think about.
Yeah.
You actually don't know. It's something you kind of don't assume until it's actually said to you.
And as you were saying, Linda, when you got the first diagnosis, you were thinking this is something that happens to other people. You hear other people get it. You don't actually think that it's something that you could get.
Exactly. You kind of think it's something that happened to somebody else. But in Ireland, almost 13,000 diagnoses every year of various skin cancers. And there's last year 273 people died from skin cancer.
I mean, the numbers are going up, and I suppose it's just really about advocating and promoting, you know, the safety of being in the sun or being exposed to UV in any way. In terms of, I mean, getting checked as early as possible, what are the signs that people should be looking out for?
There are many different signs. Now, the Irish Cancer Society are amazing. They have fantastic leaflets, and they will send them out to people, and they've been very, very good supplying and stocking them to me. Basically, any mole that's different, anything that's new or that has changed, non-symmetrical is a highlighter, different colours. Now, people think a mole has to be black. It doesn't necessarily have to be black. It can be patchy, it can be scaly for melanoma, but also BCC and SSC. We need to watch them as well carefully. Now, BCC and SSC, it might look like a little bit of a dry patch on your skin, tiny little dry patch that won't go away. So it basically, if you have a little dry patch and your bathroom cupboard creams are not getting rid of them within 6 weeks, you need to get that checked. And it's all about early intervention. Know your body, check your body every month for any strain and anything that's different. And if you do have a lot of mold or scaling, get mole mapping done. Mole mapping is very important. So it uses AI to track difference, and it will compare images. But sometimes it's quite difficult. Now, I get originally I was getting my mole mapping done every 3 months, and now I'm down to every 6 months. But I do rely heavily on that, because sometimes it is hard to see different changes when you have a lot of them. So the only safe way would be to get mole mapping done, which is difficult. There are waiting lists for that as well.
Yeah.
And that's another thing as well. Early intervention is the way, but prevention is absolutely the most important way, because in Ireland, we actually have a very good system here in Ireland. The government has been proactive, but there is a problem there too. For example, Dom, he gave me permission to discuss him. He was very good as well. He also gave me some photographs, which I have on my website. But he had BCC, and he had to wait nearly 15 months to have his surgery done. And in that time, his BCC actually progressed and was on his ear, and he lost about a third of his ear. Now, the problem there is not that the government won't pay or supply, you know, necessary surgeries, and that we have a shortage of doctors that can actually deal with it in Ireland. And that is a big problem. But coming down the line in the next 5 years, allegedly there are 7 doctors retiring who deal with skin cancers, and we have nobody to replace them at the moment. So the money is there, you know, so it's not the government's fault. The money is there. They will pay doctors to come and do it. But we don't have the medical expertise in Ireland to deal with the amount of skin cancers coming down the line.
Wow. And it's a frightening, I suppose, fact to be faced with. And I suppose it highlights even more the, you know, early prevention, but also just prevention in general. And Linda, you were a patient partner with the Irish Cancer Society, and you attended the American Society of Clinical Oncology in Chicago, which wrapped up last week. In terms of your role now as a speaker and being an advocate for skin cancer and raising awareness around it, what has that been like? I can imagine when you first got that first cancer diagnosis, this isn't where you saw yourself.
No, absolutely not. I'm a teacher and I'm an art teacher. So that was my job, is my profession. I love my art and so forth. And next thing, I just found myself landing here because I don't want somebody else to be in the same position as myself. Mm. And going to ASCO last week, it was just, for me, like, I never thought I'd be at something like this. Like, why would I want to go and participate, and I have no medical background as well. But just going to ASCO last week with the Irish Cancer Society and with Trinity and St. James's as well, it was just fantastic. But it also saw there is hope out there. There is great clinicians coming down. And in ASCO, they were actually strengthening the voice. Like the president, Dr. Eric Small, in his opening presentation, he said we need to prioritise patients' need and quality of life, which is very, very important, and to include patients in the research at the moment. And Ireland were there. We were invited along with the Irish Cancer Society because they are prevalent in that in Ireland and possibly even Europe, because we've only one of three from Europe invited. And we are really, really doing that here in Ireland. Like, researchers are including patients' needs. Yeah. And also when we're there in ASCO as well, Claire Keating, who is head of research in the Irish Cancer Society, she went to one of the plenaries. Now, the plenaries is where the groundbreaking trials of the year are presented for patients' outcomes. And there was a fantastic announcement there on pancreatic cancer. So for the pancreatic cancer, it's gone through the third phase of clinical trials, a new drug, which will actually double the lifetime of patients of a certain stage with pancreatic cancer. And it got a standing ovation. So say if a person would have, say, 9 months for life, and they would have they'd have an 18-month life.
Wow.
Expectancy with quality. And that's the difference. And they had patients involved in their research as well. So it was just an amazing experience to be there.
It's great to hear the progress that is being made for cancer treatment. And as you were saying, Linda, the quality of life that can also be brought with that treatment as well. You attended that conference last week. It wrapped up in Chicago. What is next for yourself on your journey of advocating about skin cancer and the awareness around it?
Yeah, so this summer, I have a very, very busy summer plan. So I'm actually going home now tonight and I'm straight back into it tomorrow. So my plan was to make people aware, teach people all about education. I planned on travelling around Ireland to visit every county in Ireland, having free programmes about Meet Me, and I'm going to talk about skin cancer and a simple, easy way to prevent skin cancers and awareness and what to do, signs, how about early prevention and awareness. So my plan was to travel around Ireland. So I did apply to a department, a government department for funding, which wasn't successful. So I'm bootstrapping at the moment. So I don't have the funds to do it, but we are going to do it. My husband's very kindly, he's going to help me out on that. But I'm asking people as well, if anybody has a barn, a shed, a community hall, anywhere that we can gather people and we can go to do our presentations to meet people. And on the website, sunhourprotect.com, there's a place there where people can go and register their interest. So we will then let you know, tell you your contact details, and we will let you know when you're in your area, and you can come and join us. And it's an hour and a half of a presentation. It's quick, short, to the point, and we'll tell you the simple things. We want to meet parents, we want to meet farmers, and construction workers construction workers and farmers, the skin cancer is on the increase in Ireland in those areas. So we really, really want